Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you The Herb Prophet, Peter Tosh, and the Sacred Struggle for Legalization. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music, into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. Peter Tosh didn't worship fame. He didn't worship money, or power, or charts. He worshiped truth, and truth to him had a face, a name, a lineage that ran from David to Solomon to Ethiopia to Jamaica. Haile Selassie, the Lion of Judah, Jah Rastafari. Some people thought it was just religion. Some called it cultish. Some laughed at the chants, the colors, the Ital diet, the dreadlocks, the Nyabingi drums echoing through hills. But for Peter, it was never performance. It was remembrance. Remembrance of who he was before colonialism named him. Remembrance of Africa before the ships came. Remembrance of royalty before slavery stripped the crown. Selassie wasn't mythology. Selassie was memory. You could hear it in Peter's voice when he said Jah live. It wasn't a lyric. It was confirmation. A declaration that the God he served didn't live in stained glass or golden altars. Jah lived in sound, in smoke, in breath, in Africa, in the Rasta who refused to bow. He carried Selassie's image on shirts, on walls, in his heart. Not as idol worship, but as an act of war. A war against the whitewashed Christianity that once told black people they were cursed. A war against the governments who wanted Rastas to remain poor, barefoot, invisible. A war against the lie that said God didn't look like him. Peter carried Selassie like a sword made of flame. There's this performance, 1979, Holland. Peter stood on stage, thousands before him. He paused mid-song, held the mic close, and said, "Selassie I is the god of the black man, the first divine ruler me ever see live, a king who no bow to the west, a king who no sell out his soul for power, a king who walk with Jah in him eyes." The crowd didn't cheer. They listened, because when Peter spoke Selassie's name, he wasn't speaking history. He was speaking fire. He believed every man had a code, and his came from ancient kings, not from record labels, not from Western textbooks, but from Ethiopia, the last unconquered African kingdom, the land of the Arkansas, the root of the Bible, the throne of David. This is where Peter located his soul, in a place the world tried to forget. He once said, "The Pope blessed guns, but Selassie blessed people." To Peter, Selassie represented the reversal of every lie. A black god, a black king, a black messiah who stood in front of the League of Nations in 1936 and warned the world about fascism, and was ignored. That speech echoed in Peter's mind. Selassie said, "It is us today. It will be you tomorrow." Peter never forgot that. That warning wasn't just for politicians. It was for Babylon everywhere. That's why he sang with urgency. Not to entertain, but to awaken. To awaken the divine identity in every youth told they were nothing. To awaken the fire in every ghetto where hope was still hiding. To remind the world, Jah not dead, he's just waiting in you. Peter's songs weren't just messages. They were scriptures. Songs like Jah Guide, Rastafari is, Mystic Man. They weren't meant to make you dance. They were meant to shatter illusions. To say, you are not weak. You are not forgotten. You come from kings. From queens. From divine soil. And Babylon can't erase what Jah already wrote. Peter didn't call himself a prophet out of pride. He called himself a prophet because he knew his voice wasn't his own, knew his guitar was a weapon, knew his locks were antennas to the divine, knew that every time he said Selassie I, he was invoking revolution, not just spiritual, but political, economic, mental, a revolution that started in the mind and ended in the street. He told youth, "Don't wait for heaven, build Zion here." And they believed him. They saw the king in his stance. He wasn't rich, but he was royal, not because of what he wore, but because of what he refused to take off. His truth, his roots, his reverence for something higher than empire. And that's why they tried to silence him, because Babylon can't survive a people who remember who they are, where they come from, and who walks beside them, even in exile. Selassie lived in Peter's voice. Every lyric, a psalm. Every breath, a prayer. Every rebellion, a scripture made flesh. Not because Peter wanted to be worshipped, but because he wanted people to wake up. And now, Now the world is still catching up to what he already knew, that divinity is not far away. It's not hidden in cathedrals or reserved for the elite. It's in your skin, in your rhythm, in your roots. And when you speak it, you don't just echo history. You echo Selassie. You echo freedom. You echo Peter Tosh.